Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys. Fuck yeah. A podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Paranormal Activity. Paranormal Activity is a 2007 American supernatural horror film produced, written, directed, photographed, and edited by Oren Pally. It follows Katie and Mika, a young couple who move into a suburban home and soon become increasingly disturbed by what appears to be a supernatural presence. Hoping to capture evidence of it on film, they set up video cameras in the house, but are not prepared for the terrifying events that follow.
Boys, we started this podcast...
Because of him.
Because of
okay,
you.
Okay, we'll steady on.
And we're in the middle of the year of fear.
Yes.
And there is not a day that goes by where I don't think, fuck you, Damon. With my whole... I never thought I would ever have to watch this movie again. Yeah. I've now watched it twice, and that's too many times.
I don't really have much to say other than I hope that thought is followed by... But I love your chair.
Like it is. There's inside me, there are two wolves. And one...
One hates the fuck out of me right now.
One's a big coward and the other one, bigger coward.
Okay. It's two cowardly wolves.
Two cowardly wolves. One hates you as much as the other, but they won't. But neither will do anything about it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, I'll just keep doing this podcast until I shit myself to death, I guess. That's basically
that's
it.
That's the inevitable end of this podcast.
Hate it. I hate it.
Me too.
It's...
Why do we do it?
I don't know,
every
man.
Time the movie starts, I look at you and I go, why? Why
would you? To be fair, you also say that several times throughout the movie.
Yes.
I have noticed that you mostly use anger to mask your fear.
Me?
Yes, you.
I'm not angry.
We could talk about it. We'll talk about
Sean,
that.
Sean, you're the angriest man in the world.
Well, Tom, you had seen this one before, as you just said.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So I would have been like... 15 or 16, so that when it came out, basically.
Right. Did you see this in a cinema?
Fuck no. No fucking way. I saw, because the marketing in this film is insane, right? There's no trailer for it. It's just shots of people watching the movie in night vision and screaming. You could not have dragged me to that cinema. Like, there's just no way. But yeah.
As a 15-year-old scaredy boy,
yes.
Did you go into it thinking that this was a real thing? Did you think you were watching a documentary?
So... To give you an insight into that, I need to tell a very short anecdote. That when I turned 11 years old, my younger brother...
Sorry, is this a classic Tom tale?
This is a classic Tom
tale. I love a classic Tom tale.
When I turned 11 years old, my younger brother wrote me a letter convincing me that I was going to Hogwarts.
Oh, no.
And even though, like I know that that's not a real place.
Sure.
And I know that I am... That's not real.
Okay.
There was like a tiny part of me that believed it a little bit enough to cry.
Question for you. If you got that letter today...
There would be a tiny part...
Thank you. Yeah.
When you say you cried, was it tears of happiness because you were going to Hogwarts?
No. It was the fact that, well, it was... It's, yeah, a bit of both. Yeah. It was like 50-50. So there were the tears of happiness at the start where I was like, this is real, but also, of course it's not real.
Your brother is younger than you.
He is 3 years younger. So to put it into context...
That's psycho, babe.
I'm 11 and he would have been 8.
He's a little mastermind.
He is.
Was he also drowning birds at that time?
No, just the cats and
stuff. Oh, the cats. Sure, sure.
No, so obviously, then I watched Paranormal Activity...
Yeah,
and I know it's a movie.
Great.
It is a film. Good. It has been filmed by a guy. It is starring two actors.
Yeah.
And I know that it is fictional, but there is a little part of me that when there is no credits,
sure.
When I was like trying to reassure myself by Googling the actors and they just use their real names,
yeah.
Was like, what if?
This is you as a 15-year-old, not the other day when we watched it.
Oh, still the other day.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that... And you must be both the same, right? That we watch a horror movie and there's a little part of us that's like, this is just a movie. And then you're what if? What if, Sean?
Yeah.
I try not to think about that.
Keep that in your egg. I watched this when I was 15, 16 with a mate of mine, Dave, who we used to watch movies together. Like, we go to...
Shout out to Dave. Shout out to Dave.
Fuck you, Dave. No, Dave's a lovely man.
Right. Rescind the fuck you, Dave.
We would go to the Blockbuster near my house.
Yeah.
And you could get like 5 movies for $20, like 2 new releases. And and he loves horror and he's big into spooky, weird stuff.
Bring back the fuck you, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. So like, we'd go down there and I'd be like, oh, let's get Monsters, Inc. and something. And he'd be like, let's get Mulholland Drive. Paranormal Activity. And
so your whole life has been a year of fear.
Every day is a year of fear, yeah. Every from 11, when my dreams were crushed, to now. But yeah, so we would get these movies. I would pick two, he'd pick two, and then we'd just pick a random one. Right. And Paranormal Activity was a new release. He's like, oh, I've heard it's really scary. Do you want to watch it? And I was 15 and 16 and deeply insecure, so I said, oh, yeah. And I didn't.
You should have embraced your scaredy boyness. Read a book, maybe. Books are great.
Hey. I should have taken a leaf out of your book and been like, you enjoy this movie, Dave. I'm going to be reading my book in the other room.
Be proud.
But yeah, I watched it and I was fucking terrified. There are images in that movie that have burnt themselves in my head.
Right.
I thought it was a little bit real. I've never watched it since. I think maybe I made it worse in my head than it is. It's still bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, watching it that time, I reckon I didn't properly watch the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I became... terrified that I would wake up and someone would be standing over my bed. And that is still a fear I have.
Yes.
You have it too, surely.
I'll tell you. So while you were saying that, I was thinking, I looked up today what came out at the same time as Paranormal Activity that I would have watched. Because obviously it was a big event sort of piece in horror cinema. I think both of us maybe watched it, which was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That's what I was watching at the time. You were watching Paranormal Activity. Man.
Great film. Fantastic.
It's good fun.
Yeah.
Oh, check it out. You might have a good time.
Nah, look. Yeah, watch that instead of this.
If you should have got that.
Dave was
Blockbuster,
picking movies.
Didn't they have, 10 for $10 or something?
Yeah.
10 horrors. Did you get 10 horrors?
You got 10 copies of Paranormal Activity.
I watched so many horrors with Dave. Like, we watched that. I think we watched Wreck together. Oh. And, Mulholland Drive, which is terrible. He bought me that for my 16th
That's gross,
birthday,
That's
actually.
Gross. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. He's
the maverick of the scaredy boys. He's watched too many horrors.
Yeah. He's dangerous.
As opposed to you, Damon, when we started the show, you'd watched like 3 in your entire life.
Yeah, good 3. Yeah. One for every decade, I think, is the way I go. Yeah.
Yeah,
bring that back, please.
It's a bad film, but you say that it was like a moment of like horror cinema. I looked up today. It is the second highest ever like... budget to profit movie.
It's insane.
Like, so Blair Witch was made for $22,000 and made like millions and millions of dollars, and this was made for like $300,000 and also made almost $100 million.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. Like, we were joking the other day though, like, you want to make a movie, you've got to spend a bit of money. $22,000. I don't have that, but
you know what I read today? I read that this Paranormal Activity cost $22,000 and then they had to reshoot the ending. And then it added like $250,000 because of the ending.
Did you boys hear why they had to reshoot the ending?
Is this to do with Spielberg?
It is to do with Spielberg.
Yeah, I read that too.
Big old Spiely, watch this, shit his pants, turned it off halfway through, had to finish it during the day.
Right.
So Steven Spielberg is a scaredy boy as well.
Anytime you want to come on the pod, Steve, we'll love to have you.
We know you are a long time listener, Steven.
We'll see if we can fit him in.
Big fan. Yeah,
we've got a busy schedule.
We've got to get Joel Dusha on the show again.
I don't think we do.
Bump Spielberg for Dusha.
Just the idea of like, oh yeah, sorry Stan, we're fully booked. Yeah. Podcaster extraordinaire, Dol Dusha or something. Yeah, so, but he watched it, got so scared he had to stop, watch it in the day, like put it back on during the daytime, and then reached out to the director and was like, I really enjoyed it, but you need to change the ending.
Okay.
Because originally in, there's like three endings. One of them, both, two of them she dies.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Oh, one, yeah, that whole thing, yeah.
So, two of them she dies, one of them she lives.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not a spoiler, because the two endings didn't happen, right?
Also, it came out, what, 20 years ago? I don't even know, 15 years ago? It came out a long time ago, guys. Get over the spoiler shit.
13? I can't. Count.
No. 2009.
We're not math boys, we're scaredy boys.
Yeah, it's true. We can't count. But yeah, so... Recut it, redid it, and then kept her alive, which then spawned the... There are so many...
Well, there's seven, right? Yeah. So the last one came out last year. It's a COVID movie.
You're a fear, baby.
Well, no.
Seven movies, baby.
I feel like there has to be diminishing returns. Is that crazy?
I'm happy to do two and three, because they're connected, apparently. That's the same character, is that right?
That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
I've not seen... I saw one, and I'm good.
You've seen them all.
No.
So you've only seen the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why would I have seen any others?
Because you're a maniac.
That's true.
Well, Sean, can I ask you? So when this came out, do you have memories of this being a thing of you going, not for me?
I remember hearing about it. Yeah, I wouldn't have gone near it. No way. I probably saw that trailer.
Right.
So was it like night vision, people in a cinema watching it?
Literally, there's no, I think the like, there's no like narration or like, you know, this summer. It's literally like the scariest movie ever.
Mm.
And then it's like literally crowd reactions of like people reacting to jump scares in packed cinemas. Screaming. There were stories of people like walking out of it because they were too scared, because it was too realistic.
I actually think the story of this movie is perhaps better than the movie itself.
I think so too.
So because like that guy, I've already forgotten his name from my synopsis, but that chap,
Oren,
who did everything on this movie.
Oren.
Best boy, sound, editing, everything. He basically, he wanted to make a horror movie and did it in 10 days on that budget.
In his house.
The house is his house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which feels like a mistake on my front, but I wouldn't be doing that in my house. But he did.
If he accidentally made, like, you brought it in.
I even hear
you made a movie. It's coming in.
Yeah.
It's way too dangerous.
He probably did.
Is he still alive?
Well, he didn't do many films after this, did he?
Well, actually, I think he's done like seven.
No, he did one called Area 51, which is apparently.
He hooked up with the Wan.
It's crazy that he didn't get
to do Insidious.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he direct Insidious?
I don't know if he was involved somehow.
I looked him up today. He'd done this and Area 51.
Okay, I always looked him up and somehow we've come to different results.
You know what we need? We need the IMDb.
We do need the IMDb. You know,
I'll check while you guys discuss.
Because I remember thinking, I was thinking today, it's crazy that this didn't launch him onto like something big.
Well, look,
the 2007 version.
He gets
of what
money from every
MCU
version
movie
released.
Was or something.
I'm pretty sure he's doing just
would have
fine.
Been MCU. Yeah.
Would it have been?
Oh, no. Oh, wait, I reckon.
Okay.
So but either way, he made this.
Yeah.
He released it at a few like film festivals and that sort of thing. It got some attention from horror freaks. And then Paramount ended up buying it out from him. And they wanted to reshoot basically the whole thing.
Yeah.
With more famous actors, which the dumbest thing ever. The whole point of this thing is to have unknowns for us to believe it's potentially real, even when we know it isn't.
Yeah.
Like Special Tom. So I'm really glad they didn't. But basically they released it. They did test screenings where they got all that footage of people screaming and leaving and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So people were leaving and they were thinking, oh, this is a problem. People don't like our movie. Until they finally questioned them and found out, no, they're just shitting themselves and they've got to go clean up the mess. And so then like, maybe we keep it as is. And that's when they changed the ending.
If you're test screening a horror movie and people are leaving during it, wouldn't you assume that it's
wouldn't
because
you just be
scares?
Like clapping yourself?
Yeah.
Just like
you'd
love pat
it,
on the
you?
Back.
Just you know? Every person that walks out, your bone again. It's bigger.
That's one way to put it.
There's
sure.
that just on Spielberg. There's that famous thing of when Jaws.
Sorry, I thought you meant like just on Spielberg. His boner massive.
Have you seen that Spielberg? It is an iceberg.
Oh,
it's an iceberg in his pants.
Thank you, Tom. The thing with Jaws, where he saw people walk out of the cinema, throw up, and then come back in to watch it because they loved it so much, but it was scary.
That's what you want. You ready to check back in?
Okay. Yeah, go for it, Chan.
So I've done some IMDb detective work, which if you're listening to this. Sounds fine. If you're watching this live, you've just watched a man scroll on his phone on a stage.
Now, this was free. You get what you pay for.
His name's Oren.
You've paid too much.
You've overcharged.
Yeah. His name is Oren.
Okay.
So he produced Insidious 1, Insidious 2, and Insidious 3, and also Insidious 4.
What did he direct?
He's only directed the first Paranormal Activity and that Area 51.
There we go.
But he wrote...
Okay.
He wrote...
We found out middle ground.
Three of the other... Four, five, all of the other Paranormal Activities. What a shock.
Mm.
Probably because it's the old based on
he
a movie
rode that horse till it died. Mm.
He made, for a movie that he put, what, 300 and something million dollars in, he made 98 million. No, 330,000, he made 98.5 million.
Bear in mind, too, he put in the 22,000 original.
Yeah.
Then the studio came in and did the reshoot.
Oh, I've undersold this, actually.
I'm not shocked.
Hey, I'm not a numbers boy.
You're a shark boy.
So they bought the rights for 350.
Right.
And then it made 193 mil worldwide, which is, yeah, second most profitable film ever after Blair Witch, which was 22 and then made 240 million worldwide.
Oof.
That's what you need to do.
That's
yeah. We're quitting.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to make
a movie
for 10,000 and then make... The only thing we have to do is it has to make $300 million back.
Easy.
That's got to be easy, right?
Hey, this guy did it.
Well, also the actors, you probably read this also, but they got paid $500 for their work on this thing.
Yeah.
And then it blew up and made millions of dollars. They renegotiated.
Hey, $500 for 10 days. Well,
10 days. Look, hey.
That's, yeah. That's.
I'm amazed they were able to renegotiate after.
Yeah, I guess because I think it's because they had to do reshoots, right?
Okay.
And maybe because he kept, spoilers, kept her alive at the end, she could negotiate and be like, well, if you want to do a sequel, my character's still alive. And from what I'm aware, the 2 and 3 are about her being scary as fuck.
Yep.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Well, so for me, same as you, I was like aware of it when it came out and was an obvious, not for me, champ.
Yep.
But the main thing I knew was the black and white footage or the nighttime footage or whatever. And so when it came on, when the three of us and our partners were watching it, I felt a little sick as soon as it switched from regular mode to night mode.
Mm.
And look, part of that was that memory of when it came out and the effect it was having on the world at the time. Part of it was also the insane amount of clinkers I had eaten because my belly was full of that weird combination of chocolate and chalk that works so well for some reason.
So good.
Don't know why it works, but it does. Put some chalk and some chocolate. It's friggin' delicious.
I didn't even realize you were eating them. I didn't hear you guessing the color.
No, I was crunching them whole. I wasn't wasting time.
You gotta look at the color.
This is stress eating, Sean. Don't judge me.
I could have distracted you from the screen. Every time we watched a horror movie, we're looking at our socks and looking at the
roof. To be fair, I've got an issue with the biting in half of the clinker.
Okay.
In that every time I do, a piece of chocolate breaks off and falls on my shirt, melts, and now I've got clinker shirt.
It's the price you pay.
It's the price you pay.
I know what it tastes like.
But here's the thing, Damo.
Can you, Tom, can you guess the colour?
Okay, raspberry, definitely.
Okay.
Yellow, it's iffy. Yellow and green.
Oh, no, green, you can easily tell. It's lime.
You're full of it.
This is what we do with horror. We distract ourselves with snacks.
Any way to not watch the... Why do you think the IMDb detective exists?
M&M Crispies, when are they going to sponsor us?
I'm waiting on the day, mate. Mm. Ah.
Mr. M and your wife, Mrs. M, call us. We're ready. We will sell your product. No, but the trick of if you bite into a clinker, right, falls down, chocolate on you.
It's not made to be bitten in half. I'm sorry. No, I've got a point to make here.
I didn't know that. Didn't know I'd be
every
going
time,
to war with
I'm
one
like,
of my good
I
friends
full
today.
Of regret my lovely T-shirt that I've pressed, ironed all the work. I'm a big T-shirt boy. I put
what
a lot of effort
do you mean
into
it's
this.
Not made to be bitten in half.
Well, like obviously, of
course
made
it is.
To, well,
it's like this big.
But the chocolate crumbs.
He's dry swallowing that fucking thing.
This guy.
You've got bad chocolate control management is what's happening.
Don't
here.
Don't tell me how to eat my chalk, all right?
Well, you're dropping it all over yourself. I've never encountered this with a clinker.
I think, though, the thing that you're forgetting, though, is if you drop it in a way so it lands on your pants, people won't know if you've shit yourself or it's chocolate.
They'll know if I've shit myself from the smell.
You know, but be like, you could blame an animal.
Yeah, okay.
There were two cats in the house when we watched it the other day.
True, okay.
There was also...
Only I thought of the clever trick of grabbing your cat's shit and wiping it off myself.
I don't mean...
Now you know next time.
No, this is okay. Skatey Boy trick. Tip and trick from Skatey Boys. You're welcome.
Wipe shit. That's not what I was going for, but it is what we've landed on, so it's what we're going to do.
Right.
Yeah, we'll do anything to avoid horror films. It's bad. And rewatching it was scary. Yeah. But also rewatching it, I think I had made it worse in my head.
Yeah. It's,
you know that video clip of that little kid and he's in the pool and he's like drowning and then someone comes and just stands him up and he can stand up in the pool and it's
I
like he thought
I
he was...
I don't know that video clip, but...
So there's a kid.
Sounds great.
But it's like, you know, you think, I'm in the water, I can't stay, I'm drowning, right, I'm freaking out. You can actually stand up, you're okay. And I think...
You're that kid.
I think I was that kid going into this, because in my head I was like, it's going to kill me. It wasn't good.
No.
It was like, I still... Do you know what actually happened after I went? I hopped into bed in what I thought was a safe place.
Okay.
And my partner in the bed was like, do you reckon there's one in this house? Bad.
Well, not even in this. Okay, this is something I liked about this movie. It wasn't the house, it was her. She was
true.
So, do you reckon there's one in you?
No, fuck off. How dare you?
We're all thinking it.
Mate, why would it be in me?
It could be.
What have I done?
I don't know.
But no, that was the point. It was random.
I didn't like that.
No, there were a few things I really liked about this movie. I think its point in horror history is really interesting because... So we, us watching it now, I think it didn't maybe affect us as much as more recent found footage horror movies. Would you say this is fair?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you thinking like Host?
I am thinking of Host.
Okay, yeah.
And found footage specifically. Yeah.
Found footage is right. The worst genre of all time.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I haven't watched it. I'm like... Do you think part of it is because the cameraman's a dickhead?
Almost always.
Like, they're not giving it... Like, there's so much of the screen that's out of focus or out of the shot when they should be in the shot. Like, show me the thing, but no, of course, we're not seeing the thing, so I'm more scared because I'm not seeing the thing that's scary.
Every cameraman in every horror film at some point in the movie will try to make a porno.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll do...
I'm glad you brought this
up. I've turned the camera off.
Yeah.
Usually the red light's still blinking. That means it's off.
He also had the biggest camera that ever existed in this movie.
It's so big.
For that time, what the hell?
Right.
Hey, he's a day trader. He can afford it.
He is a...
kept so looking at the house and everything, and he's a day trader.
It's a two-story, three-bedroom house with a pool.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So this is 07 or 06, so it's before the housing market crashed. But I love that they're like...
The sweet spot.
He's a day trader, so it's okay that his wife's job is Etsy. And
she's a student.
Student slash Etsy.
Who makes jewelry with her friend or
shit
sister.
Jewelry.
Shit jewelry. Mm. I mean, would you be able to make good jewelry if you had the devil inside you?
No, of course not. Of course not. Even without him, no way.
He'd actually make it better.
The devil loves crafts. That's just a fact.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me that changed between the first time I watched it and this time watching it is that Micah, the boyfriend, who I in my head was like, oh yeah, he kind of sucks because he doesn't really believe her.
Yeah.
And then you watch the movie, it's like, oh no, he believes her and he's worse than I imagined. Remember him being, so he's just a fuckhead.
It is insane.
Worst guy.
What a douchebag.
He dies at the end. Best moment of the film.
Yeah. Well, that's something I was thinking about. We often talk about the fact that horror movies need empathy for the characters. Mm. That's what sells the scary horror part. So this guy, waiting for the death, he had the emotional intelligence of a sack of doorknobs. Mm. He was a complete, utter douchebag.
He's a day trader.
Like, even... yeah, fair. Even, like, the sex tape thing. I was thinking the same thing.
He went there very early, too.
Oh, so early.
So quick. And I'm like, I want him to film it. I want him to watch it back and realize he sucks at sex. That he's a three-pump chump. I want him to look at himself and realize I'm a three-pump chump. That's what I want for this dude.
But he goes for it night one, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. It's not even night time. It's like they're having breakfast and he's like, maybe we could use this camera.
The camera's rolling.
As soon as that battery's charged, he went, oh, what am I to do?
Battery's charged, his dick's charged, he's ready to go. Does he... I'm trying to remember. He tries like three times.
Oh, yeah.
And then he does the worst part is he turns the camera back on. It's the worst scene in the world. They've just had sex. He turns the camera back on and says, I think what we just did is illegal in three states.
Yeah.
And you're like, what, sex?
Missionary.
Yeah, mate.
All right, champ. Calm it down.
That guy's not doing anything adventurous. Jesus.
It is America.
Yeah. True. Missionary is probably illegal in at least three states.
Fair enough.
Including famously the doggy style states where you can only do...
I'm so sorry.
What are we going to do, a tour of the doggy style states? I can't wait for that day.
No, you don't want to do a tour of the doggy style. But no, so he's so unlikable that it's like if this movie was set now, there would be a point in the movie where Katie would be on Reddit being like, am I the asshole? I am possessed by a demon. I forgot to tell my boyfriend when we first moved in together. However, he believes me but won't help me, and heaps of people in Reddit being like, leave him, girl. Yeah. Just let the demon take over and kill him.
She's thrown another thing on. I did ask him specifically not to buy a Ouija board, and then he bought a Ouija board?
Actually, he borrowed it.
Yeah, he didn't buy it, he borrowed it.
The minute he says,
What a loophole.
Buy a Ouija board. You're like, you day trading piece of shit.
He's a dog.
What are you about to do?
You got
to
look out for them.
Do you think in 2007 they knew he was a dog? Or is it just...
Not as much as you would when you watch it now, I think.
Yeah.
But he's still a piece of shit.
It was blindingly obvious that he sucked real hard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I also read that... So, they didn't have a script. And I actually like this sort of shit where they go... Okay. Well, okay, look, it works. We watched another movie recently where they did it with kids and it was somehow amazing. Mm. The Tiger's Not Afraid.
Do they not have a script?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. But for this one...
Those kids were good actors.
Those kids were great.
Yeah. None of them were day traders.
None of them... Well, who knows? They might be now. We don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. But for these guys, they didn't have a script. They just sort of said, here's the gist of this scene, improv.
Yeah.
Which means this dude is like, I'm going to improv as a fuckhead.
Yeah.
Like, what's the choice there?
They must have been like, I'd like to, because they would have done a few takes. So maybe like, he just kept kind of like being a little bit of a dick. And the director's like, nah, go bigger.
I love that.
Yeah.
And give me more of that.
The director's like wife or partner's watching being like, wait a minute. Don't go bigger. Mm.
I don't actually believe in that approach for this sort of movie.
Okay.
Don't do like an improv, no script when you've got non-actors.
I thought they did.
Do you know what I mean? Like Larry David does an outline without a script for Curb Your Enthusiasm because he's working with like world-class comedians.
Sure. Richard Lewis, who is still alive.
Richard Lewis is definitely still alive. He'll
never
die.
Do you think they paid him $500 for 10 days?
He does it for free.
He does it for free. It's part of his community service.
No, but you know what I mean? These guys, there are times when... During the day scenes, it's just like, it's just fluff. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I like that element because I think that's what made me...
It adds realism.
Yeah, it's that 1% part that's like, it's like that the Bigfoot one we watched.
We never remember the
Willow Creek.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
See, like, Willow Creek's a worse version of this.
It is, but the couple stuff at the start is kind of believable.
Yeah.
Like when they're talking, like they're going to all the Sasquatch hunting places.
Because
and
he's kind of likable because he just wants to like, oh, I've got a passion to film Sasquatch.
Yeah, that's true.
We've all got it. We've all been there. We've all gone through our Sasquatch phase.
True.
I'm yet to go there, but I'm excited for when it hits.
Oh, mate. It's a big time in your life.
I never moved beyond the shark phase of mine.
It's going to become a Sasquatch boy as well.
Oh, God, help us. But for this guy, he's just like... I kind of can't figure him out because he's somewhat skeptical.
Yeah.
Like, even in a lot of the synopsis, I left it out because I'm like, no, he's not a skeptic. He believes that this thing exists. He's willing to go that far. But then he's...
Well, he's bought the cameras and all that.
He's bought the camera. So he's, like, curious about it, but he's still, I don't know, such a dick about it?
What never... And we might get into this when we get into whether they were wise or foolish. Yeah. But it's like, he believes aspects. And then when there are solutions for that aspects, he's like, no. Mm. Like... Just decides to pick the worst thing to do, even though he's like that's the thing, he's invested. It's not like he's like, oh my, they never pose it that he thinks that she's making it up.
Right.
Like they do a little bit at the start and he's kind of like part of it, but then there's so
much. Which I like. I think that's good. It's like, no, this is real, we're all on board, let's run that.
It's irrefutable early on. Like there's like doors and sounds and all. Speaking of sounds, the best part of our viewing experience is there are two possums that live in my house. And one of the key features of Paranormal Activity is things scraping walls. Yeah. And throughout multiple parts of the movie, the possums were doing stuff.
It was bullshit.
I think they were doing it deliberately.
Yeah.
I think we need to kill these possums.
Tom
paid
them.
Yeah, they're really cheap to pay. You pay them in leaves. Gum nuts?
Yeah.
I don't know what a possum eats. Okay. I'm going to be honest.
It's going to become a possum boy.
No.
But yeah, compared to that one, this guy just seemed like such a bigger dick.
He was on board a little bit, but then he kept sort of pulling back.
Yeah.
And like he seemed to always reach a point where he believed that when it comes to an invisible ghost or demon, his fists would do the talking.
Yeah.
Like he always seemed ready to be like, oh, I'm going to fuck you up.
Just let me at him.
Where is he?
Pulls
the shower curtain back. You know, he's like, I got this.
Yeah.
You've seen its. He's seen its footprints by that point. What are you going to do? It's got lizard toes.
It is, because it obviously escalates throughout the movie. Right. You've got the footprints. You've got the Ouija board catching fire. Nothing really seems to rattle him. He's rattled for a second, but then he goes back to, oh, I reckon I could punch the shit out of him.
Even when she gets dragged, he's ready to throw fists.
That's right. He's running. He's like, oh, they're ready. They're fucking ready. He never has a weapon. That annoys me.
Yeah.
I know we're not at this part yet. Did he act wisely? He's a fuckwit.
Well, let's move ahead then.
Yeah.
Were we scared?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to throw that down.
You were.
Yeah.
I was.
Good.
To a certain point.
It's about fucking time.
Sean threw out a few, why are we doing this?
Yeah, there was a few of that. And Tom, this feeds into your theory. So Tom has a theory that, because lately I've watched a few horrors that haven't rattled me that much when they should have.
Few. This year of fear, every second week you're like,
yeah, here's the truth.
Make me watch Midsommar. I fucking might.
I don't want to watch that film. No, but Tom's theory is that when we watch it together,
right,
the energy in the room becomes unbearable and it's scarier. And I think that's true.
Well, we did.
If
have
I watched this by myself, I don't think it would have got me.
We did have our partners in the room.
Yeah.
Yours is a bit of a laughing hyena.
She cannot be scared by any horror.
I had a
there
right
hasn't been
to
a
me.
Horror that she won't laugh in the face of.
Yeah.
True.
And you would think it would ease the tension, but it doesn't. It makes me more scared.
Is it because you're like, I don't understand what's funny, and now I have social anxiety as well as actual anxiety?
Part of my brain is like, she's laughing, I should be laughing, this is fun, but it's not, it's terrifying.
It's not fun.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Look, ghosts, don't laugh at ghosts.
I don't want to be the well actually guy, but I'm about to well actually have your shit.
Go on.
Demon. It was a demon.
Sorry, whatever, same shit.
Don't laugh at ghosts is a good rule, though.
Look, and I'm not going to disagree.
Don't laugh at something that could just kill you so quick.
The main reason I point that out is because our psychic came in and he's like, oh, if it's a ghost, I'm your dude. But demon, catch. I'm out of here. He couldn't get out there faster.
Yeah.
You need to call my friend Johan, who they never called. Well, no, called too late.
They called
well,
he was gone. He was out of the country?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe dead.
Yeah. So look, for me, like I said, as soon as it went to night footage, I was a bit, oh, Damo's not happy. And then it's definitely once we got the sped up footage of her standing over the bed.
That's some of the worst, like, there's jump scares in this that are bad, but they're two, like, dread, tension, awful scenes are the, anytime she's standing over the bed and watching it, I thought there were so many of them. Like, I thought every night she did it, but there's only two.
Right, right.
They're both bad, one ends real bad, but there's also one of the most tension, awful scenes outside of that is a scene where he's going up in the attic.
Yeah.
And he's doing the thing that we all hate in found footage movies where the camera goes in first. Right. So effectively, I'm first.
Yeah. I know something he doesn't know.
I don't want to be fucking
and
first.
You would never.
No.
You would never be first.
None of us would be first.
No.
Who do you think would be first out of the three of us? If we were forced to this situation.
We know.
Mate.
30 seconds of courage
it's
right
Shawnee.
Here.
It's Shawnee boy. Okay. Yeah.
30 seconds and dead.
Yeah, and then we're out of there. Yeah.
Great, okay.
We're free.
You have my permission to run.
Thanks,
Sean. I will fucking haunt you, though.
Great, we know the psychic for the job.
Hey, guys, we still get to hang out with our friend every day.
I might not haunt you, Damo.
Great.
I'll definitely haunt you.
Why definitely
you just,
me?
You've got a look of a traitor all over you.
Babe.
I haven't forgotten when we did the very first episode, Blair Witch Project. Yep. Damo and I teaming up, good boys. You betrayed us. I've never forgotten. Betrayal.
It's all right. This when we get to that part of the show,
okay.
You're going to be in for a surprise.
Never forgive, never forget.
Oh Jesus! Okay? Don't be dropping women in black on me, mate. That's bad times.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, but look, I think it's so interesting with this film to look at it in the history of especially found footage subgenre of horror.
This killed Saw, by the way.
What?
So this came out at the same time as whatever number the Saw films were up to, and it outperformed at the box office, and it kind of sped up the end of that franchise.
I kind of get it. Like, I honestly think the marketing of this movie is phenomenal in that it, like, the trailer you mentioned, all that sort of stuff, the fact that they didn't have, like, Paramount owned this, and they chose not to have their logo, which feels like... pretty big for them.
Well, yeah, the only bit is there's like a copyright thing at the end, I think.
Right.
But that's it. Otherwise, there's no... Like, it's so weird that... What, it's 07. You have that... Is it 99 where you have Fincher trying to get the Fox logo out of Fight Club and they won't do it? And then a few years later, some guy who's never made a movie is like, hey, Paramount, can you put no credits or logo in it? And they're like...
Yes, we will.
But it works. And like, here's something I want to ask you guys. Do you think if this was released today, it would have the effect... Because it did feel dated. Obviously, it still scared us, but coward. So, you know.
No, it's because it's been ripped and imitated so much. It doesn't have the same.
Yeah, that was my feeling also. Like, yes, I felt the tension, but I have to imagine if you'd watched this at the time, especially at the cinema, after all that build-up, all that buzz, like, part of me wants to do that. If there was a time machine, I mean, no, obviously, I would use it for a million other things first. But I'm curious by the fact.
What happened to this fucking guy?
No, I agree with him. I would do the same. I'm on board this idea. I think it's good.
Great. Yeah.
Tom, don't you want to go back to the cinema in 07, shit yourself so you're stuck to the seat?
I mean, when you put it like that...
Firemen will have to come in and carry you, man.
Just with the seat? You just like unscrew the seat, carry out the seat.
While whispering, I'm from 2022.
I'm from the future!
And lock him up in the asylum. Did you know that Jason Blum was the producer of this?
I did.
So he missed out. He passed on doing Blair Witch and he regretted it for ages because it was obviously a massive hit. And then this is basically why we have Blumhouse.
Yeah, it basically built Blumhouse, right? Which is insane. Yeah.
So without this movie, you probably don't have The Conjuring or any of the other stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah. Well, no, it's good for horror.
Nah, it is. I mean, it is good for horror.
It's bad for the three of us.
It's very bad for the three. This movie ruined my life.
Yeah.
Twice. So many times. Oh, no, that's bad. But yeah, it's...
I think it would have ruined it more if you'd watched it in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even Roger Ebert...
No, but he kind of did, didn't you? You watched it as a new release?
It was a new release on DVD, so it would have been 07, 08, or whenever... That nebulous era where I was anywhere between 15 and...
So, look, then Sean and I are weirdly envying you, I guess.
No, I've changed my mind.
Oh, okay. Those 30 seconds are up? Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah. Okay, courage gone.
Yeah. No, it's like that... That final, and you had this reaction where you were like, the final shot of this movie is goofy. That woman's face burnt into my memory.
That scared you, did it?
It did. I was 15.
Hold on, what part? Was it not the throwing of the camera?
The throw's terrible. The throw's
when she comes up to the camera and looks at it, and then her face goes demonic, and she sort of comes at the camera. I was like, oh, God.
Because she's still out there, and there was 1% of me that believed that maybe she's real.
Nah, it looked too goofy for me.
How would you have finished this movie off?
That sounds wrong.
Continue.
I mean, I just wouldn't have had her look at
you. Would have gone to the doggy style states first. And
Texas, is that the rust belt?
The doggy style belt.
Oh, no, I just wouldn't have had her look at the camera. Like, I really like that she threw the guy. There's long, long pause, so you know something's going to happen. The throwing of the guy is crazy.
I'll tell you what I liked, hated, combo of both, was the hearing the footsteps come up the stairs or whatever it is.
Yep.
And we're seeing, like, we've got a pretty good shot of that hallway. And I was kind of getting to the point where I'm like, well, just show us the fucking thing. Like, I want to stop it.
Yeah.
But it really held for a good long time in a very effective way until finally we did see the thing and I jumped.
It feels longer than a jump scare should be.
Yeah, like, I think that's what it is.
You get the pause and you're like, okay, here comes a jump scare. And then the moment that the jump scare should happen doesn't happen.
Yes.
And then it still doesn't happen. You're like, oh, maybe there's...
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, you have that moment of relaxation nearly.
Right.
Because part of me thought, oh, it's just the invisible demon guy. Maybe we're just not going to see him. And bam, body in the camera.
Well, exactly. So that's where the extra $200,000 went into.
Also, when he's already watched a film, he is horrible to watch a horror movie with.
You don't even tell me.
He sits there the whole time just being like, woo,
shaking.
Making a little noise.
Shaking his head. Yeah. And giving me side eyes and winking at me. I'm sick of it.
That wink. That wink, that's what does it.
Yeah. It's bad. It's. I now understand. Do you now understand what Damo went through when we'd watched The Woman in Black?
Oh, yeah. You'll never understand. That was the worst
experience. No, I understand completely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Sorry. But again, to go back to like the impressiveness of this film, I think for the budget they're on, the fact that so much doesn't happen, right? Like even the most of the effects of the scares are happening in camera. In that they're just like, they've like the footprints or the door moving or whatever it is. Like the most impressive effect before that finale is her getting dragged out of the bed.
Yeah.
Like this is low cost effects and it worked. Like audiences obviously like, look at the money it made.
Yeah.
It's genuinely very impressive.
Yeah.
It is weird. Like when I was watching it again, I thought there were so many more jump scares in it and more big scares. Mm. But there's really only a few like in the back half.
Yeah.
There's like a door slam thing and there's a few other bits. But in my head, again, I built it up. But also, nothing happens. But it's the idea that something will.
Yes.
And also, again, you have to be the one who has to see it.
Yeah,
and that's just no good.
Not enough scares.
Well, so here's the thing.
The movie's a bit of a coward.
I think...
And I want to comment on this. So a lot of the stuff happens in like that 2:30 a.m. sort of period. Is this like the witching hour? Is that what it is?
Apparently it's a dead hour.
Dead hour is what it's called.
I wish
called.
The demon would do something during the day.
It does.
What did it do?
It the puts the fire, but it also puts the thing in the attic. There is a scene in the day.
Puts what? The photo in the attic? That's already there.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That happens during the day, doesn't it, that scene? Isn't there a scene where it's breathing on her neck during the day? There is definitely a scene where she says things are now happening during the day.
Okay, maybe towards the end, but get it happening earlier. Like you gotta scare me more. It's a 90-minute movie. It doesn't like the scariest bit is really at the end.
Sometimes I look at you and I do not know who you are.
Isn't this what the show should be doing? We've watched over 100 horror movies now.
Yeah. It's done nothing for me. I've talked about this. It's making me worse.
Yeah.
Because I now know what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Well, I still think it's a bit of a sign of its time. So I read Roger Ebert, who's a famous critic. His review was very positive, and he sort of said it's those big, long nothings that he was like celebrating in this movie because it's sort of keeping you so tense and suspense. I think it did at the time, but now, X amount of years later, not math boys, it doesn't have the same effect it would have at the period of it came out.
Yeah, I think those daytime stretches just sort of stretch out for too long. A lot of it's repeated too. It's basically her telling him stop filming and that sort of thing. And day after day after day. Give me some scares.
Yeah. All right. That brings
us. I hate that I'm saying that, but I want more.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And I don't like you.
Whenever we are watching a movie and you turn to me from now on and you're like, fuck you, Tom, for making me watch this, I'm going to play the audio of that back to you.
Yeah. This is exactly what you asked for.
I'm a coward. I'm a hindsight brave boy. Everything we've ever watched, not fucking scary.
Let's move on to our next question. So did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Micah might be the dumbest man in horror.
Yeah.
Easily.
You could put a dead fish on screen. It would do better than he did.
He just, every choice he is presented with, he rejects all of them. Makes up option D for himself, which is just categorically the worst choice.
What does that D stand for, Tom?
Tiny dick. It's
the purpose of him getting filming equipment is to get some proof, some evidence.
Right, yeah.
And then when he gets that proof, it's not enough for him, but also he just wants to keep... He wants more.
Yeah.
It's almost like this movie came out too early because if he did it now, he would have like his own channel or something and have people following him. Because that's the kind of vibe he had.
He's not a day trader. He's an influencer.
He's an influencer, yeah. You can be both, baby.
Hey,
the worst man in the world. But like he was stoking it. Like he wanted a reaction out of this thing. He kept wanting more. Like it's just absolutely crazy behavior.
The craziest thing to me is like we see the Ouija board igniting to flame.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is clearly like until now, this demon has mostly been like, I'm going to flick some lights. What do you think of that? I'm going to turn the tap on, whatever. Like just messing around with the basic circulatory system of this house.
Yeah. For me, I don't think he watches back that footage of it catching fire.
Then he's a bigger dickhead.
He definitely doesn't tell her about it.
No.
That's the biggest, most fucked thing that happened to that point in the movie, and he never seems to come up.
Yeah.
The only thing he does with the Ouija board is he spends ages going back and like retracing where the letters were.
Right.
Like he finds that lead that he then goes on the internet.
So does he pause the video and miss the fact that a second later it catches on fire? But also even before like that, he's goading it. He's literally walking around the camera being like,
okay, like what you were saying, he thinks he can fight this.
Yeah, he wants
demon.
To punch it in the dick. Yeah,
gets an expert in. His girlfriend is like, this has happened to me before. He gets pissy with her for not telling him, but at the same time, he's like wanting. He may be the worst horror boyfriend guy ever.
Does the ending lose some of the scare factor because you're just so fucking happy that he's dead?
I think so. Yeah.
When the jump scare still hits.
Yes.
Because anybody cheeky, being thrown at the screen is going to make me jump.
Cheeky jump scare, but
once
it's a fist
pump
moment.
Once you realize who
it
is, you're like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah. It's a big time. It's a big moment. If we weren't so scared, we would have all stood and cheered. We were stuck to our seats with shit. Yeah, his death, you at like 20 minutes in, you're like, man, I hope he dies. And I was Sean, you're going to have a wonderful time in about 60 minutes. But yeah, he sucks. She, I think, does act wisely in that she's the one who she... The thing she does that's bad is she doesn't...
Doesn't leave him?
She doesn't murder him
mostly,
without the demon
and
leave him.
Well, like, even so, like, to me, the thing that, like, the demonologist, right? So we saw our psychic and he's like, no, I'm a ghost boy. Don't deal with demons.
Him coming back into the house and just being like, well, I've got to leave.
I respected it. He's a specialist, right?
But, like...
You don't go to an, like, ear doctor to get your ear looked at and be like, hey, throw in a vasectomy while you're at it.
Yeah, but if your vasectomy...
You can.
Finish that sentence.
If your vasectomy was at a point where, like... It was on fire. And the only way to stop it.
A doctor's still a doctor.
Doctor's still a doctor.
Okay.
Right?
They do a bit of everything and then they become a specialist.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to say.
I'm not saying it'd be a good vasectomy.
No. Yeah.
From your ear
but
and nose
better,
and throat
it's
guy.
It's better than the fire that's currently taking place.
my
I mean, they're both effective in what you're going for.
Yeah.
You're not having children after that.
No, not the vasectomy's not even a part of the body. But if that's on fire, yeah, your chances of kids that are not fire children. Done. But yeah. She does her best, but then I think, she should just like just undermine him. She should just ring the demonologist and be like,
bad luck, he's coming. It was as if he had the phone number and she didn't have access to it.
Right.
Call the guy, bring him in.
Yeah. Because to me, like, if she's the one who's like, it's not the house that's possessed, it's her.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. Her not leaving the house is explained by the fact that it's her that's possessed, right?
Hmm.
So then like, it's literally like her body is the thing and somehow he's got final say. It's gross. It's so disgusting.
Yeah. No, I think, she, like you're saying, she has, he kind of just has this, all this sort of power over her. So she should either kill him earlier, solve the problem on
her
own.
Her or the demon? Just her should kill him.
Just her.
Okay.
But also, she does have that other friend or sister that comes over to make a jewelry with her.
Yeah.
And she kind of knows about it and they're talking about it. That person's a good friend. Call the demonologist. Be like, I did it.
Yeah.
I called the demonologist. Get him in earlier.
Yeah, I agree. I have to agree. I think that's the weakest point of this movie is that I think the demonologist is only included as, here's what they should have done. Because it's really weird he never actually shows up, despite the fact he's referenced a whole bunch.
There is apparently scenes with him in it that got cut.
Oh.
They got a real guy to
cut.
Yeah.
What do you mean a real guy?
A real demonologist.
Yeah. Oh, not just a real person. Yeah. Who happens to be a guy.
I mean, Damo, they're all real people.
The budget of this is pretty low. If they had like a blow-up doll, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Tennis ball on a stick.
Just getting the guy playing Mike to play him, but they show him from behind and be like, this is a demonologist, so we can't show you his face. there are apparently scenes with him in it explaining demon theory, but he was cut. But every choice they make is bad. And then even when it gets to the worst possible point, the choice that he makes to leave, even though he not, like, she's like, it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
And then by the time they leave, he takes like 20 minutes to pack their bags. And by that point, she's all like, oh, no, I think we should stay.
Right. Like, even then,
it's
like,
it's going to be fine.
She's been bitten by this thing, right? She's got like the bite marks.
Yeah.
And it's obvious, okay, well, somehow that's caused further possession, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, now he's allowing her to call the shots. Like, it seems bonkers.
You bundle her up, you get some gaffer tape.
Yeah.
She's in a doona, just gaffer that doona up, you chuck her in the car and you drive. Although, again, that actually doesn't solve the problem, does it? Because she's haunted. So you just get in the car
honestly,
and she kills you.
He is such a bad guy. I am so shocked he didn't just leave her.
Can
you know what I mean? Like, that honestly surprised me.
Can I throw something at you? So, I think he needed to be the day trader piece of garbage that he was.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of this thing is it gets more powerful with negative energy, right? That's what our psychic tells us early on.
Yep, yep.
He is that negative energy. The only reason this thing has any power at all is because he's such a douchebag.
That is true. So, maybe the movie is clever.
Yeah, I mean, we don't like the dude, but I think he's necessary.
That's kind of the point. And they start fighting more and get stronger. Yeah.
He needs to start out okay then and then become a negative guy.
He needs to not have a scene where he's like, let's have sex on camera, please.
He just starts out as a horny day trader and it's only downhill from there.
I'm excited for more movies that feature day traders and Scaredy Boys just dying.
I hadn't heard day trader in so long and now I've said it 100 times.
All right, lads, how would we have done in this situation?
Should we become day traders?
I think that's clearly the answer here. Yeah.
Day traders. Part one, we could buy a house in a 2007 economy. Oof. So,
Yeah, that bubble's burst, son.
it like literally the next
It literally
year.
Burst. Yeah, yeah.
If he had to live, they would have lost the house. Like, here's my question.
Is this because of the stock market?
Here's the spooky question. If it wasn't a demon, would it have been economics?
Ooh, the real demon was economics the whole time. Oh, okay.
Got him.
It sucks that he died. I would have liked for him to live through that.
Just be alive.
Yeah.
Just be like fucked and in like a mental asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah. His dick cut off. I assume.
Because of the vasectomy doctor.
Right. Yeah, the doctor doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, correct.
Because he's an ear doctor and he thought, I just cut the whole thing
off. The whole thing. That's how you do it.
That's what I do when I do ear surgery.
I just cut the whole thing. Oh, jeez. Look.
Let me ask this. Who of us is the possessed one?
Jay, I wonder.
Okay, good. Damn. No, that's good news for you. Okay. You're not Mika. You're not the douchebag.
That's good.
Okay.
So we're hanging out in our Scaredy Boy's house, and I'm like, boys, we've been doing this podcast for 3 years. I've got something I have to confess to you. When I was 8 years old, spooky stuff happened. When I was 16, I saw Paranormal Activity. Yeah. I think on that 1% chance that it's real, the demon is now living inside me.
When I was 11, I found out I didn't get into Hogwarts, and now I'm haunted forever.
That I love the idea that you didn't get in Hogwarts. You're so depressed. A demon managed to take advantage of that and get inside of you.
Yeah, that checks out.
Just latched onto your negativity.
It did.
You had big negative energy, and it's like, thank you. I'll come in now.
It's getting me. So in this scenario,
we leave him instantly, right?
Oh, we walk away.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're allowed to walk away from him.
No, I think you got to kick the stones, which means you got to buy a Ouija board. That's the stones. 100% buying the Ouija board is kicking the stones.
Thomas,
not buying the camera.
Timothy,
it's no. Buying a Ouija board. Speaking of, imagine. Nah, I'd never buy a Ouija board. Fuck off. No way in hell.
I've thought about it.
Why?
Just because.
I hate that you've said that.
30 seconds of courage.
I'm serious now. That's ridiculous.
Remember when we did the host and I lit the candles?
Yeah, that's why I'm getting
why
upset.
Why do I not remember?
30 seconds. This is what happens.
Oh, it's bad.
It takes more than 30 seconds to buy a Ouija board.
No.
That's why I haven't bought one.
Not with his friend, Mr. Jeff Bezos. Bang,
that's
bang.
True.
Next thing delivery,
that's some
your
quick
Ouija
clicks
board.
From Sean. Yeah, fuck. Okay. Please never come to us with a Ouija
board. I'm so scared my girlfriend's going to
buy one. You're our day trader.
Buy one. She's got one already.
Shit.
I gave it to her.
See, he's a traitor.
In this case, I've got the demon in you, mate. You leave.
In you.
Thinking that'll... Yeah.
We have to come back, though. Like you said, we've kicked the stones. We just say yes to the demonologist. We're like, well, let's get the special...
Oh, yeah, we call him in.
Tom's got a very special condition. Yep. We get the expert in. His dick's on fire. We've got to get the guy who knows how to put that out.
We don't get the ear doctor. We get the dick fire doctor. I think that it happens... It's real simple. You get the demonologist.
Yeah.
While we're waiting for the demonologist, I just let the demon in and kill you both.
I think what happens is
path of least resistance.
We hear the possums in the roof.
Right.
And we go and investigate. Okay. I go up first. Demo, you got to come too.
You
we find the old burned photo of young 11-year-old heartbroken Thomas.
Yep. In his Hogwarts robes.
Yeah.
Waiting for the day.
We've seen a lot of photos of 11-year-old me. I am posing next to a
you
shark.
You are head to toe in shark outfit. Yeah, you're right. I take that back.
So many photos of me with sharks.
Yeah, I think the demon's in love with you.
Okay.
Did you get a bit of that vibe from this as well? The demon has some sort of obsession with
it. It had a foot fetish.
So hates
for
him.
Sure.
Well, that's because she's untucked
the
whole way.
The demon is Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, okay.
Loves cameras.
We can beat him.
Loves feet. We can...
between one of us. That's right. He looks like the easiest man to bash in the world.
I like huge head, easy target.
So wait, does it mean Douchebag was right? We should have just punched the demon in the dick. Like
yeah. Well, if the demon's Quentin Tarantino, then yes.
Okay. Did it bother you like it did me that Micah didn't have a weapon next to the bedside table or anything?
Well,
baseball.
It was
bat.
In. It bothered. I say. So let's talk about the logistics of this, because baby powder walked through baby powder and left footprints.
Him pouring the baby powder in the dumbest way possible.
Yes.
If the demon wanted to be unseen, it could just like tiptoe over the gaps in it. He's an idiot.
He's a day trader. He's not a baby powder expert. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Do you want to prove for sure that there's a demon? Close the bedroom door for once.
Yeah. Wasn't also, like, look at your camera footage. It's all over
that
there.
That too, yeah. An idiot.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, we would cover that floor in powder for a start. Yeah. Like,
and ourselves.
An obscene amount of powder.
Yeah.
And I'd lick it. It'd be delicious.
Yeah.
It's not icing sugar.
It can be.
Okay, great. Okay.
Do whatever you want.
As long as it's powder.
All right.
If it's laundry powder, I'll probably not lick it off.
Yeah, don't do that.
But no, I reckon we approach it. We actually do really well. Maybe I'm possessed, but I trust both of you to do the right thing. We would believe. We'd go to the demonologist. He'd sort me out. My dick's no longer on fire.
Beautiful.
We are three best friends, and no more demons in our lives. And if it's Tarantino, we bash the fuck out of
okay.
Him.
I'd love to do that. There is a part I'd really love.
Tarantino part?
Yeah, no, I'd really love
none of the rest of it. You just want to bash Quentin Tarantino.
I'd really love to punch a demon.
Oh, okay.
If we can fit that in somehow, I'd love to do it.
Well, you're talking weapons. What weapon were you thinking?
Oh, I was just thinking baseball bat.
Okay.
Yeah. Just something.
Okay.
What else? What can you have? A knife? I don't know.
No, I mean, cricket bat. You live in Australia.
Cricket bat, whatever. I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
But I also, like, what's a cricket or baseball bat going to do against Satan?
I don't know. He's invisible, right? But can... I don't know.
Well, this is why I brought up the baby powder.
Can you touch him?
If he can affect
I'm
baby
I'm asking
powder,
you though. Specifically. Can you touch him?
He's your well, STD. He tell me. Us.
I can. He can touch me, so I figure, yeah. 100%.
All right.
Probably.
All right. You get a bit of a go with a baseball bat before the demonologist comes in to finish the job.
Yeah.
And then we become day traders.
Oh, yeah. Influencers and day traders.
Influencers and day traders. We teach you how to fix a demon by night, and by day, we trade.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Done.
And that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
We're not math boys, we're scaredy boys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.